Hello and welcome to IndieInterviews.com, part of the IndieFeed.com network, a weekly radio show where we interview independent musicians to get their perspective on their music, their history, and the world around their art. On this show, your host Garrison Reed sits down with Corey Gardner of Mates Estate. Gardner discusses an expansion in studio sounds, the impact of having a child, and forecasted reviews for Bring It Back.
In the studio, we were like, we had these ideas of how you're supposed to record, and we had these ethics like, you don't want to sound like you're something you're not live, and we just, you know, slowly progress into thinking, no, you should just make a great record.
The San Francisco duo, Mates Estate, have experienced intense change in the last few years. With marriage, a child, an expanded studio involvement, and a label change, Bring It Back embodies the band's love of change. Here's a snippet of Fraud in the 80s from the band's 2006 full-length, Bring It Back, out next Tuesday, March 21st, on Barsook Records. Recently changed labels from Polyvinyl Records to Barsook. In addition to an ongoing national tour, the band will be playing the Barsook Showcase at this week's South by Southwest Festival in Austin. The new record features more looping and overdubbing. What led to this development?
The addition of bringing someone into the studio that we gave some control to. we actually just wanted to do something different in the studio. We wanted changes. We didn't want to be afraid to make anything sound different than we did live, and Bill Racine, who came in there with us, was just full of ideas, and we weren't afraid to do them this time around.
Yeah. Was that like in response to something that had happened before?
No, it's just like, you know, kind of, because on every record we sort of went in and basically just used the organ and drums, recorded the tracks. Maybe a couple overdubs here and there, but it was pretty much like a raw-sounding record each time around. I mean, granted, the production was a little bit better each one, I think, but you know, we had a little more time this time around, and we didn't want to just plug in and play. We wanted to take each song as an individual identity and really make it sound different than the next.
Do you think that that's easily reproduced in concert, or have y'all had that challenging time reproducing it?
Well, I think what we realized is, you're never going to have, even if you make a live-sounding record in the studio, you're never going to have the same experience listening to a record that you do live, so why not just think of them as two separate things? And, you know, the live experience is warm, and the studio experience is sort of like the cold of it, you know? It's like you don't have that intimacy or whatever that you have at shows, and the sound just surrounding you. And so I think live, yeah, there's not going to be some of the loops or whatever, but it's still a live show, and I feel like we sort of realized that like our strength has always been in our live show, and we've sort of not been the best studio band, and so we're trying to even those two out a little bit. And even though the live show now might miss some of the tracks that we overdubbed on the new record, it's full enough live where it's okay.
Yeah. Do you think that the songs on Bring It Back are reflecting of your relationship right now?
Yeah, but it's not, we've never really just written about each other. I mean, we write about things in our lives and in society in general, and it's our perspective on it, and it's like a conversation between us about it, but I guess that reflects our relationship, because things that we're going through together come out in the songs, but not necessarily like a fight we had or, you know, how our relationship is today compared to yesterday. I mean, it's more about our lives together, but not about necessarily our relationship.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
More of an analysis.
Yeah.
Do you think you could articulate, like, the evolution since, going back a few records, like, say, since Our Constant Concern?
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, we whenever we get questions or we talk to friends or whatever about how things change, it's like we've always been such a slow-changing band. I mean, it's always been a little step at a time. Even like playing shows, like, we tour relentlessly, but you know, each city might have 20 more people the next time, and then the next time I might have 30 more people, you know, and it's like, as far as record evolution goes, I think the same thing. I mean, we gave a little bit more, we had a little more time to work since our constant concern to Team Boo. We had a little, but one more week to work in the studio, and we had, you know, one more keyboard effect to throw in, and like, you know, one more vocal overdub idea, and then it just kind of sort of snowballed into, I guess, really being uninhibited, finally, in the studio. We've always been an uninhibited band writing, but then in the studio we were like, we had these ideas of how you're supposed to record, and we had these ethics, like, you don't want to sound like you're something you're not live, and we just, you know, slowly progressed into thinking, no, you should just make a great record, period, you know. You don't really need to worry about how it's going to come across, because the live thing we've been doing, you know, at least 100 days a year for like 6 years, you know.
Yeah. So this is kind of a giant leap in as far as evolution.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I feel like it's not huge, but, I mean, people keep kind of saying it's way more mature, it's way more sophisticated. But, you know, I guess that comes with having more time in the studio, a totally different person doing the record. And us, maybe we've just grown up a little.
Yeah.
One thing about this record, I feel like I personally like every song, and I don't really flip tracks. I mean, I don't really do too much anymore because I kind of got burnt out on it a little bit. But before, in the past, I guess we've listened to records and been like, that's definitely a better song than the next one or whatever. And so this one, to me, is, as a whole, it keeps your interest more. I think it's a little more dynamic song to song, and so it's not so harsh. It's not so abrasive. I mean, to me, a lot of people, when they say mature or a little more, what was the other word we were using? Sophisticated. I think we've taken a little of the harshness out of the recording.
Yeah.
And I guess harsh means younger or something, you know, because now it's a little more smoothed over.
Or smoothed over means mature or something.
I guess, yeah. But I mean, it's scary because I don't want to like lose what you have when you're like young and like excited and writing songs and recording. I just think, you know, I think there's a way to sort of exude that without killing people's ears.
Yeah. Games will soon be growing tails. And I know we haven't said enough. I know I haven't said too much. How I will protect. And how each day matters to me. Since the wreck, I know more than I need. You need me to put you in the trees. I know we haven't said enough, but I know I've never loved this much. Do you think having and raising a kid has impacted your musical message?
Personal message, I guess, has changed. I mean, people tell you, oh, your life changes when you have kids, and you know, everything to me and Jason has become clear and easily prioritized, and you know, the bullshit that sort of comes with being in a band or you know, making any kind of art and being critiqued and all that kind of stuff just really goes by the wayside when you have a kid. So when we write, I think we're just way more clear-headed and excited to have the time to write also, because you know, we've gotten a babysitter for 3 hours. You know, I think she's changed the way we look at everything, and I guess the way we look at music has changed too. I mean, even being on tour, I used to just sort of, it was just what we did, and it kind of just became monotonous sometimes, and now it's like, it's so exciting to play every night, because I know that in the morning I'm a mom, I'm not thinking about music as much, you know?
Yeah. You'd think that there would be more blurring than it is.
Yeah, it's actually changed our life as a band for the better. I mean, people think that parenthood sort of pulls you into that routine life, and for us, it's like, it makes life on the road more exciting. We don't have to have downtime at clubs. We have somebody to make us laugh, you know, that's only 2 years old. I mean, no one can really be down when there's like a toddler around at a rock club, you know, when you're sound checking or whatever.
Yeah, not at all. Is there any thought when making the record that I'm now a parent? Are you like in any way inhibited?
I feel a certain level of like worry. I have more worries, you know, than I did before as a parent. I mean, I think this thing happens. I've talked to a bunch of new moms, and if this thing happens after you give birth, it's like you suddenly have visions of this child that you're supposed to be protecting, like the worst things ever happening. I mean, they just flash into your head. I think it never goes away your whole life. So I think that's one part of having a kid that it's like I never expected. And I think it probably comes across in the music too. It's just, I mean, there is a song specifically kind of about that on the record, Nature and the Wreck. So you could read into that a little bit more and probably figure out what I'm trying to say. Like that level of having to protect, you know, and that whole idea of like, you know, we were talking about the other day how like the mother duck, the kid, like the chicks, like just naturally follow the mom in like a little line, and it's just, that's just how it happens, and she doesn't tell them to, right? It's like they just do it, and I think there's just these really crazy things that happen like naturally about when you're a parent, I guess, and like being protective is the number one thing. So you focus a lot of your energy on thinking about that kind of stuff.
The way that you are describing this relationship with your daughter is this almost identical that I would see between a musician and their art. Do you think that's...
It totally is, but it feels so much better to focus that energy onto like a live human being instead of something that's just really not tangible, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we focus just as much energy on our art, but it's so much more like what happens now musically is so much more natural because the things that you analyze too much and the things that you focus on too much when you shouldn't as an artist, I don't have time to do anymore. I do that with her, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a good point. And it's like when people say they put out a record and it's like they just had another kid, you know, they gave birth or whatever. It's like, I totally get that. And they're super proud and they're super protective and they get insulted if somebody says something about it.
How do you think are you predicting feedback?
I don't know. I mean, this is like right the fourth time around, so I just, feedback as far as like press goes, I don't even care anymore. It's like, it feels great when they say great things, and I just don't even read the bad ones because otherwise I'm afraid it'll bother me. Although, I have to say, like, I've read some things here and there that haven't been, you know, super positive or whatever, and I, like, it doesn't bother me anymore. And so when I think about, like, what's it going to be like when the record comes out, I really haven't put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians. More information about our guests today, Mates of State, can be found on their website, matesofstate.com. Music samples in the show are from their 2006 record, Bring It Back, available soon on Barsook Records. For information on this release and other Mates of State releases, visit matesofstate.com. For more information, including a transcription of this interview, please visit IndieInterviews.com. For feedback on this podcast and the materials used in this production, send your thoughts to IndieInterviews@IndieInterviews.com. Thanks again, and see you next week.